Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Friday, September 23rd. I looked Jason Moore directly in the eyes when I introduced the show. That was a welcome specifically for Jason.
Wow. The Andy Holloway welcomed me into the show. I am so happy. Hey, check this out.
My chopped liver over here? What's going on?
No, I was about to just introduce you.
Okay.
Mike, welcome to this show. We missed you yesterday.
Thank you.
And because we missed you yesterday, we missed its football time.
We let the people down. We really let them down.
I was going to say, I'm not a hundo yet, but there was multiple disturbances in the force yesterday that rose me from my slumber. Number one was just an overwhelming sense of emptiness where something needed to be there, and it just wasn't. And, of course, it turns out its football time was very lacking. And then... There was a much larger disturbance where it felt like I was giving some analysis that definitely was not something I would say.
I don't know what you speak of.
I haven't looked into it further, but it just was
you had great analysis.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, your starts. Okay.
Great stuff.
Starts of the week, we took the mantle. You were down and out.
Yes.
And as your friends, we wanted to share your insights.
Good. I hope it was really helpful information that I would give.
No question about it. Couple things here at the top before we recap last night's game and move on to more matchups. And, of course, Jason having to bear the shame of
very excited today.
I don't know, pint-sized lineup, we'll call it, from last week.
It was a halfer.
I'm excited for this week's shame. I've turned all the fear into excitement.
Okay. Yeah, your psychiatrist told you to take that approach for...
Right, to stop the tears.
Okay.
Sunday Live, every single week, Mike the Fantasy Hitman. If you go to ballerslive.com, you can get connected over there. But Mike will be live Sunday morning, Twitter, YouTube, and now TikTok, Mike.
Yeah, baby. We figured it out.
So do you have to do a dance for some of these questions? I don't know what the... Does it require movement?
I hadn't thought about that, but I'll work something up. What's the latest song that's going on?
I don't know, but you need two dances.
Neither.
You need a you need a stardom dance, and then you need some sort of sit-em move.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll work it out.
And maybe something with like a rainy day schedule. You know, if the weather's coming in.
Well, Trey Lance is not playing this week, so I imagine it'll be clear skies across the nation.
It is Friday.
Foot Clan Friday.
Shout out to the Foot Clan. Appreciate each and every one of you. And every Friday we say thank you with a giveaway to a supporter at jointhefoot.com. Today, the winner of a $100 gift card to fantasychamps.com is Zerk36. That is the name.
Zerk.
Zerk36.
It sounds like a Power Rangers villain.
Yeah.
Zerk. Let's go kill Zerk.
Yeah. Okay. It's morphin' time.
But congratulations. You win a $100 gift card. Now we get to transition into what I've been looking forward to the most on today's show.
Oh, man.
The Cleveland Browns beat the Pittsburgh Steelers last night 29-17.
Doesn't sound right for what the game was.
And, well, let's look
at... It wasn't the score with 5 seconds to go.
The most consequential part of the night. Now, Jason and I, we have a league of record matchup head-to-head. And, I mean, Jason's just heavily favored, but I know what buttons to push to get the fear to kind of circulate within you.
And that's the Buffalo Wild Wings
that's
button
right.
that you push at the end of the game?
That is right. So I did push the Buffalo Wild Wings button at the end of the game.
That's a good reference.
I'm watching this game, and we're getting to the point where, like, Cleveland's defense was pretty good in the game. You could easily say that Pittsburgh's offense was really bad, but no sacks. I mean, like, the first sack came, like, I don't know, 2 minutes left in the game on one of these drives that Mitch Trubisky was trying to get down the field, and no turnovers. And so I played the Cleveland defense against Jason, and we're sitting here with, like, 2 points. And a couple minutes left in the game, and I call Papa Josh. I'm like, let's go play some Warzone. You know, Kyler Murray's on. Let's go play with him.
Of course he's on.
Yeah, I mean, he's always on. So we go on, and Papa Josh, are you on the microphone, Papa Josh?
I am indeed.
Okay, well, try to describe for me the sound I made with the final play of the game, because I was watching it live while we were, you know, playing some Warzone, and what did it sound like to you? It was jubilation. That was the. I'm not sure it sounded exactly that like
was
that.
That was the death of a seagull.
Yeah.
No, that's the post Chipotle sound you made. No, it was a very hearty giggle, because on the final play of the game, the Browns defense ends up with a fumble recovery and a touchdown, puts up 8 extra points. And Jason, you took that very poorly.
I didn't like it. When you're favored in a matchup, the way that you lose is so often the defense. Like the unexpected, wow, you got a good score from your defense. And the fact that, so I was at my children's performance for the second half of the football game, so I was kind of following along on my phone. Mm-hmm. And after the bows, things were over, and I pull my phone out and I look at our matchup, and there are 15 seconds left in this game, and he scored 2 fantasy points. I was like, fantastic. And then I put it away. I didn't even think about it. And then I found out later, I was like, you got 10 points. No, we're not partying here. This is bad news.
This feels like an abuse of the party lights right now.
Yeah, that last play, which was this, like, lateral disgusting fail pile.
So, can I spell, Mike, spell it out for them what actually happened on the play in terms of...
Break it down. So, I mean, they went hook and ladder. I mean, they didn't have really much choice. They had to score a touchdown. And so what ended up happening, so we got the Browns DST. That's a fumble recovery and a touchdown. So we have a plus 8 points. I don't know if they were credited with the causing the fumble, because sometimes there's the plus 1 for causing it, plus 1 for recovering it. So 7 or 8 points, we'll see. Deontay Johnson did get a catch for 8 yards. So
congrats.
Nice. Najee lost 4 yards and was credited with the fumble, so he lost 2 points, 6 points. And Chase Claypool also lost a few yards, so he lost, you know, about half a point.
Well, and I saw multiple people with parlays and things that had Steelers plus 7.5.
Yes. Saw many, many of those. Also saw the DraftKings winning lineups. Did you guys see that note?
What did the Cleveland defense lead somebody to victory?
So the people at the top were splitting the millie, and they were going to be splitting about $250,000.
That was the split. They weren't splitting that was splitting the million, and they were going to take about $250,000 home.
And then the touchdown changed those lineups to win about $700.
Oh, because how many ties?
Because they got
those
out
people
of first
that
place.
Were in first place.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it was
brutal.
It was brutal, unless you had the Cleveland D and then you were happy. Nick Chubb, 23 for 113 and 1.
He's
I had
a
somebody,
stud.
Yeah, he is. And I had somebody on Twitter say, like, you know, footballers, why is it crickets about Nick Chubb? He's the best fantasy running back out there. No, he's not.
Right. He might be the best running back out there.
Which we've said many times. If you look on our website, we give you a consistency metric for Nick Chubb. 64% of the time over his last 17 games, he's given you more than 10.5 points. That's a pretty good consistency for running back, but it's certainly not the best. And, you know, this game doesn't look as pretty on the fantasy score sheet if Kareem Hunt scores either of his goal line opportunities, which he didn't. He was stuffed twice on the goal line. They had to give a fourth down to Nick Chubb, who did get in. Otherwise, Nick Chubb, no catches in this game. That touchdown was the only one he had, so he's great.
Yes.
But translating that to fantasy, he's not at the top of the list because he doesn't catch the ball.
Well, and you want him in matchups like this where the other offense isn't going to score a lot because he is not game script proof. As you know, if they're down multi scores and they've got to throw the ball more, that's really not his wheelhouse. So this matchup turned out well because, and this is worth discussing, the disgusting offense of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are not able to do much. And, you know, I don't think this was the Browns just shutting them down. I think this is Mitchell Trubisky and a bad offensive line that on almost all matchups going forward is not going to be pretty.
Well, you're right. And it's a problem, and there's going to be continued calls in Pittsburgh for the rookie to have an opportunity. Deontay Johnson in two consecutive weeks, very frustrated on the field, still managed to put up 8 for 84, but touchdown opportunities are going down. Najee Harris, I don't think, has been over 60 yards in any of the three matchups.
Yeah, the nice thing, Najee looked good. Like, he, you know, he had a problem getting through the offensive line for a lot of these carries, but his touchdown run in particular was, that was vintage Najee Harris, stiff-armed two defenders and then just exploded, I think, a cornerback as he, you know, paraded into the end zone. So he at least looked good. And the opportunities are still there, but you can't get the volume that Najee needs if this team is always going to be coming back from a deficit, and Mitch Trubisky is not the quarterback who dumps it off to Najee Harris all the time. Three catches yesterday in a game where it seemed like Najee Harris, if this were Big Ben, Najee Harris would have had 6-7 receptions.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get volume when you can't get first downs. That's just right. the drive's over and you no longer have opportunities to touch the ball. When the change to the rookie comes, and I do believe it will happen, I don't think that is the solve that you're looking for. Rookie Kenny Pickett, I like Kenny Pickett. I think he is much better than Trubisky going forward, a better prospect. And maybe it does bump it up 5-10%, but it's not going to, you know, it's not going to rescue this offense.
On the other side of the ball, David Njoku, 9 for 89 with the score, looked fantastic. This was the guy that we thought we could see during the offseason. It's fantastic that it happened, but week 3, if you drafted David Njoku, you already dumped it to the waiver wire. Jason's face is telling me
he
did that.
No. This is telling me that Kyle Pitts' game is coming. Why
does that make you sad?
Because I'm playing against Kyle Pitts. Andy's team is going to erupt.
He's living in a full paranoia right now.
Wow.
But my point is this.
He wants to beat me
Get it together, man.
I do want to beat you very, very badly. But no, my point is that the metrics behind the scenes, routes run, usage and participation of the offense, those numbers were really, really good for David Njoku, but the targets and the receptions and the yards, they just weren't there. And so it's one of those things where the same thing's happening for Kyle Pitts. Everything behind the scenes, the usage, the routes run, the participation in the offense is fantastic. So his good games are going to come.
Well, the hard part was a lot of people bought into Pat Freiermuth, and he only had two catches, and they were both on the final drive of the game.
Saved.
Which, still, 2 for 41, not what you want. And so that's worth mentioning. George Pickens had a huge catch down the sideline, but again, not an option right now in this quarterback situation.
Awesome catch.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Did you guys? Yes, the catch was
sensational. He definitely pushed off on that play, but who cares? That's what they do.
But did you guys notice that? So George Pickens, before the game, he had the he talked to the media, which is, or someone put it into the media. I don't know exactly how the comment got there, but of him saying, look, I'm always open. You need to throw me the ball.
He was also mad on the sideline later.
I
saw that.
Did you notice how the offense started for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 12 personnel with George Pickens off the field?
Yeah, I mean, you don't do that with Mike
Not
Tomlin.
Not to Tomlin.
No, you don't.
I say, and then
Jaylen Warren. I wanted to mention Jaylen Warren real quick, running back depth piece for Pittsburgh, but got some opportunities in this game. One huge play called back.
Yep.
That was a monster pass-catching situation. Was 4 for 30 on the ground. I only say that because Benny Snell's never looked close to as good as Jaylen Warren did. And so something happened to Najee Harris, you probably have somebody that would actually put up some points.
Yeah. We've been talking about Rashad White, or I have, as a great stash player in case of an injury. Jaylen Warren's one of the few guys that, you know, should the starter go down, he's going to get the full workload. The difference, obviously, is that we just talked about how this offense is not going to be great, so it's still a limited workload.
Still be an RB2, and I'm surprised we've gotten this far into the show, and Jason has not yet victory lapped his boy.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper?
Amari Cooper.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Yeah, baby.
Off of the atrocious week one, then week two, 37% of the targets, 35% of the targets against Pittsburgh. Looked good. Jacoby Brissett looked very competent last night. I don't know if that's a product of the Steelers not being able to get the defense that they want with T.J. Watt out. But Amari Cooper, if he's going to get 35% of the targets, that's top 12 numbers.
He's really good at football. He's a really good wide receiver. Now, if I can trade him high, I'm doing that because I don't trust.
You're not just keeping?
Well, because Brissett's going to be under 200 yards half the time.
Exactly. 100% right. Brissett is going to be at 200 on average every week, and you just don't want to split that up. If you can trade high on back-to-back 100 and a touchdown weeks, you got to cash in, even though I think Amari Cooper's great.
Yeah, what were we talking about? Cooper versus Garrett Wilson?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see how the rest of that goes.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
Some of the injury updates and news we'll cover within the matchups, the individual matchups on today's show. But Christian McCaffrey sent panic, I'm sure, through. This was the other disturbance in the force at home yesterday. Dealing with some ankle stiffness. Now off the injury report and we'll play, but a little bit of fear.
I'm like, Carolina, we talked about this earlier when he cut himself, or when he got the cut from the cleat.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina beat reporters, please.
Overeager.
We are fragile in the fantasy football community. Make sure that all context for Christian McCaffrey is given. Do not tweet out McCaffrey added to injury report. Do not tweet that out without letting us know exactly what happened.
Jacoby Myers didn't practice again on Thursday, so everybody that chased after him on the waiver wire, I don't know if he's going to play this week. It's looking uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gabe Davis, limited in practice, says he, quote, he's 100% optimistic he'll play. So just 100% optimistic?
Right. He's just wanting us to know he's a very positive dude. He is in great spirits.
Gabe.
Yeah, I'm 100% optimistic he's good. Right?
I'm
very optimistic about that.
Josh Jacobs didn't practice due to an illness. Hunter Renfrow still in concussion protocol.
That one matters because if you're not progressing through Thursday, it looks like you're probably not going to clear for this week.
Michael Pittman should be back. Got another limited practice in on Thursday. We're expecting that, right?
I sure am.
And let's Jason, go. You have some sort of snow model update for us?
Oh, baby!
Breaking news.
We're hitting the button for this.
I am. This is big time news, guys.
This is where he's at with this matchup. Mike.
We got. This isn't about the matchup solely.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure.
Just predominantly, not solely. But the big news here is that there have been snowflakes hitting the ground in Vermont. We brought this up a while ago. Look, when snow hits the ground in Vermont, Derrick Henry and the Yeti completes. He
the metamorphosis happens.
It happens. We talked about it all last year.
Why is it Vermont?
Yeah, I've never heard the Vermont until yesterday.
Oh, yeah. This was something that was mostly on the Fantasy Footballers DFS podcast. And by mostly, I mean entirely. That is where this originates. There was a huge correlation shown because he is the Yeti and people figured he comes out in the snow. Mm-hmm. And when the snow hits the ground in Vermont, he is awesome. And literally, today we got news that the first snowflakes are hitting the ground. So, look, this I know you're...
reasoning was, quote, because he is the Yeti.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, he couldn't become the Yeti until the snow
That's
hit.
The part of the argument we concede. The fact that he is
absolutely
a Yeti.
Yeah. He was hibernating. But now he's going to come out.
So you're feeling very optimistic.
Oh, Derrick Henry's going to have a great game.
Imagine a Yeti and all that, like the size and the muscle and the fur in the summer.
No, that'd be uncomfortable.
Like he has to stay human form and then become the Yeti once.
I like that Mike is now in on this.
Yeah, well, oh, absolutely.
I'm in on him being the Yeti. I still am.
Well, don't worry, guys. Our own injury expert, Matthew Betts, we are sending him on location. We will have boots in the ground in Vermont.
In the ground. Not on the ground.
Well, that's right, because the snow.
Okay.
You
very
go
nice
into
save.
The ground. Thank you. He will be there next week for it's more the on the snow model.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for that report, Jason. We got to give you the news more often.
Mm-hmm.
That was today's News and Notes brought to you by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. Let's do a quick break and we'll get into the matchups.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
You're going to beat me this week, Jason. You know that, right?
I do not.
I mean,
that.
Congrats.
And to you, sir.
Uh-huh.
Would you
right.
like
you
any
both,
pizza this weekend? I will happily you
both
order
suck.
You.
This is pathetic.
Well, no, I mean, I have no expectation of winning, Mike.
Even with your freebie from the Browns last night?
No, that could never happen.
Okay.
Let's get into the matchups.
Fantasy Forecast.
Yesterday, we covered the Texans, Bears, Raiders, Titans, Chiefs, Colts, Bills, Dolphins, Lions, Vikings, Ravens, Patriots, Bengals, Jets. So you can scroll down, click on yesterday's episode if you want to hear those matchup breakdowns. 8 games left. The Eagles at 2-0 taking on the Washington Commanders. The DraftKings Sportsbook line here. Philadelphia, -6 on the road. Another road favorite, Jason. Over-under is 47.5. Here we go. Yeah, Jalen Hurts looked very good last week, particularly in the first half where they put up all their points. And, you know, in 2 games, 28 rush attempts for Jalen Hurts. That would be top 12 among running backs.
That's nice. Baby.
That is, he's been great. 3 rushing touchdowns. What does he have, 1 passing touchdown in the year?
That's correct.
Yeah, just 1.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows you the, I don't know, the league-winning ability for Jalen Hurts, because if there is a game where they have to really compete and he happens to throw a couple of touchdowns, the numbers are going to be ridiculous. Carson Wentz gets the revenge game here.
Yeah. I mean, he's playing against former team. I don't know if he gets revenge.
Okay. But he can attempt it.
Yeah, he will attempt it.
Back-to-back quarterback 3 finishes by Carson Wentz.
The weapons that he's throwing to are very good. Scott Turner's done a great job now that he's got weapons. Curtis Samuel has manufactured touches. Jahan Dotson has looked great for a first-round rookie. And it's funny because Terry McLaurin almost feels like the odd man out, even though he is the best wide receiver of the group. So if you want to stay in the flames with Carson Wentz, and even though the Eagles' defense has been very good so far, although I credit a lot of that with Kirk Cousins' own self
sure.
Implosion.
The Vikings as a whole.
Yeah. I don't know that that's true. I don't think it was the Vikings as a whole.
Well, when Irv Smith drops a touchdown pass down the field, he's included.
Okay.
I mean, right. Kirk Give Cousins a made a perfect credit. Throw down the field, and he would have had another touchdown pass.
When you have a bunch of fadeaway jump shot, you know, how many interceptions were dropped, too, by the true. Eagles? But anyways, I do think that you could start Carson Wentz this week. I would start him over Tom Brady. That's been kind of the barometer check of Brady without all these weapons, you know, are you going to start him? And I think, you know, the Goffs and the Wentzes, I would rather have.
Antonio Gibson, the RB12 and RB15 the first 2 weeks. Through 2 weeks of the season, the Eagles are giving up a lot of fantasy points to the running back position. You're comfortable starting him?
Not comfortable. I will play him. He was the running back 15 because he scored, and the running back scoring up for the entire position was way, way down this past week. But we saw the game script completely flip because they were not in command so to speak, of most of the game. Thank you. And it was smooches. It was J.D. McKissic. And I expect that this is the game, or this is a type of game that J.D. McKissic will be on the field a little bit more. You know, 46% of the snaps last week, 7 targets. J.D. McKissic and Gibson are, what do you think the game script is going to be? Do you think they will be in contention, like it's a tight game, or they're going to be up? That's when Antonio Gibson will flourish. If they are trailing, it will be, you're really hoping that Gibson falls into the end zone. Otherwise, McKissic is going to take so much work away.
Yeah, I'm happy to start Gibson in either situation. I realize it'll be better, obviously, if they are winning the game and up for Gibson, but he still had 18 opportunities this last week. So the utilization is there. He wasn't super efficient with it, but I'm pretty happy to start Gibson.
Andy's almost upset of the week.
Doubling down against the Eagles, eh?
Yes, sir. Washington at home.
Yeah.
6-point dogs. I like their opportunity here to keep up on the offensive side of the ball. It's a divisional matchup. I think it'll be close. We'll find out if I can go to 3-0 on the almost upsets.
All right.
The wide receiver, and so to answer the question, I think Gibson will have opportunities. McLaurin, Samuel, Dotson. All of them are in play for fantasy managers. Samuel, if he puts another big game up, you know, you're going to have 3 to start the season. And
that would be on fire.
Yeah, that would be pretty impressive. And it would also put you in a position where, you know, McLaurin is not the bona fide leader in terms of fantasy production there. So that might, you know, you drafted him to be that. So I don't know how your view of Terry McLaurin will change. Logan Thomas, is he on the streaming radar?
Yeah, a little bit.
Scored last week, right?
Yeah, the problem for Logan Thomas is the fact that they have 3 excellent wide receivers to go to. I know he came through last week, but he's still recovering from the ACL. I'd prefer to see more, you know, more routes, more targets and things like that before I'm going
to
stream.
Yeah, it was nice to see him on the field more, but 3 targets in or 3 receptions both weeks. You're need a touchdown in order to have success.
Miles Sanders.
Yes, please.
15 and 20 opportunities in the last 2 weeks. I think this season he's still going to be mostly allergic to the end zone, but the opportunities have been there. Mike, you're into Miles Sanders this week.
Yeah, Washington allowing 7.5 yards per carry. And like the opportunities have been there, like you said, 15 and 20 for Miles Sanders.
Just makes me think Jalen Hurts is going to run even better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jalen Hurts is going to get his, but they have been going to Miles Sanders. It's a committee, but Miles Sanders is the clear leader of the committee. I agree. The you don't bank on Miles Sanders getting a touchdown. It's just that's a little extra gravy on what he is, which is like a mid-range running back too.
Devontae Smith in this game or Jahan Dotson on the other side?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'm going to go Devonta Smith over Jahan Dotson.
Dotson's the only wide receiver rookie over the last decade with 3 receiving touchdowns in the first 2 games. Very interesting. But, again, needs that right now with the volume.
We need more targets for Dotson.
New Orleans, the Saints at 1-1 taking on the 0-2 Carolina Panthers. This game is in Carolina. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, New Orleans, road favorites, -2.5. The over-under's 41. So, you know, you're going to have this 2 former number 1 pick battle between Jameis and Baker. Who can lose the game least for their team?
That is a really funny, like usually when you get 2 former number 1 overall picks against each other, it's like, oh, that's exciting. And this is like, ooh.
Yeah.
Broken back Jameis versus broken spirit Baker.
Broken back Jameis. We're there.
He has a back end that has some fractures.
Yeah, yeah. Well, who didn't Matthew Stafford play with fractures in his back for an entire season?
Yeah, he's a gamer.
Yeah, so I mean, let's set the standard for Jameis.
Was he great or?
We're not going to talk about specifics. other than the spine.
I know that he will play.
Yes, yeah. Jameis played. But we saw the Buccaneers are certainly a much more formidable foe than the Atlanta Falcons, but I mean, really big drops in all metrics of efficiency for Jameis.
I think that makes this a really good litmus test for Jameis Winston because...
Jameis Witness?
Yes, thank you. because you can't tell whether or not it was the awesome Buccaneers defense, who is awesome. I mean, they look outstanding now that Bruce Arians is gone. Todd Bowles is in. There's, you know, that defense has really stepped it up. And so Jameis might be fine. Or is it the back issue, the injury to Alvin Kamara that really hurt? And the Carolina Panthers are kind of that middle-of-the-road defense where I'm excited to see if the Saints can get it done with all their pass catchers, Chris Olave, Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas is my start of the week this week. I think he's a good matchup.
Yeah, I'm in on that.
So I'm really curious if Jameis looks bad in this game. I'm going to be much more scared of the back.
They also did not have Alvin Kamara in week two.
Right.
As part of the offense. So how do you have confidence then in the pass catchers, Jason? You seem to.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Michael Thomas, one, he is a very good wide receiver, obviously, and two, the targets have been there, and the valuable targets in the red zone. So he projects as a very solid wide receiver, too. I'm not putting him up as, you know, some elite option this week. We had a question yesterday where, you know, they had really good options, and I benched Michael Thomas, but I do think that he should be in most starting lineups.
The team is certainly not blaming injury yet. What about Chris Olave? Air yards for days last week.
Prayer yards.
Olave or Dotson this week?
I would go Olave. I'm going to stick to the targets.
Yeah,
and
I'm
going to
chase the volume of Olave.
Give me the temperature check on Christian McCaffrey. 20 opportunities last week. People are disappointed. He's still the running back 9.
He's still Christian McCaffrey. He's still very good. The disappointing part is the targets. Baker is not checking it down to Christian McCaffrey, which is nonsense. Like, if you're a quarterback and you've seen what Christian McCaffrey has done in his career, you need to get him the ball more. So that's hopefully the coaching figures that out. Otherwise, Christian McCaffrey will still be a running back 1, but just he's not going to compete for that elite top spot.
It really is a situation of third down conversions, because his opportunities and his usage is outstanding. It's very similar to the conversation with Najee, where he's on the field more than anyone.
Right.
He's being passed to. He's being given the ball. But if they don't convert first downs and don't have – I mean, their total plays run is among the worst in the league. So that's really what it comes down to, is can the offense get it together? I don't think the offense gets it together against the Saints' good defense.
Well, and that's a problem with somebody like Damian Pierce, too, with that offense and how many – how are you – are you moving the ball down the field or not?
Right.
So he can score. Jacksonville, 1-1, taking on the Los Angeles Chargers, who are 1-1. The DraftKings Sportsbook line here – Chargers -7 at home, over-under is 47 points. This is a great matchup between Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, who looks to be back in this game, looked good in practice yesterday, has thrown 3 passing touchdowns in both of his starts. And so the only thing that you can say about Justin Herbert in this game in any sort of negative sense is you just hope he doesn't re-injure or...
Yep.
You know, the injury becomes more severe. So,
do we know, is he going to play in
a flackle?
A jacket?
Yeah. The device?
I mean, I imagine he will, but
I don't know.
We haven't got the confirmation on that yet.
Yeah. And he didn't, you know, the nuance of his injury is something we need to pay attention to. The Chargers defense is very, very good. Second in points per drive on offense. So, right now, it should be all Chargers confident starts, right? Eckler,
yeah.
Mike Williams. We think Keenan Allen will get back on the field.
That's the, that. I
if
think
he's
that's
active,
the question.
You start him though.
Yeah, I think I'm at that as well. But hopefully, you get some like really positive news on Keenan Allen of like, oh no, he's full go. He's ready, because if he's still hampered by the hamstring, that could be a potentially brutal awakening on Sunday.
Yeah, I think the real question here is, because if Keenan Allen is starting, you're going to put him in your lineup. The one player that seems like he could go in and out is Josh Palmer. If Keenan is playing, you are not starting Josh Palmer. You're not saying, oh, well, maybe Keenan will hurt his hamstring. And if Keenan is out, I think Josh Palmer's a fine play. 91% of snaps last week.
Breaking news.
We covered the game yesterday.
Okay.
But we did get an update just now off of Twitter from Jameson Hensley saying Rashad Bateman not present.
That sucks.
During the media viewing portion of Friday's practice. He was not on the injury report yesterday, but we don't have any update on Rashad Bateman. Obviously, very important to pay attention to that. Mike's face says, I'm
like
starting
it.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Who has Bateman in league record again?
I do.
How do you feel about that,
your
Andy?
Your panic fuels. Yeah. You've made some trades. You got depth. Offensive tackle Ronnie Stanley not present either for the Ravens, which is problematic for Lamar. Mike's face, very grimacy in the moment. So that's your update.
Yeah, I don't like that very much.
On the Saints side, Alvin Kamara, we expect him to be back.
What? You mean
we're
the Jags? We're going back to the Saints?
What did I say?
The Saints side. You wanted to talk
I
more
did.
Alvin
I
Kamara.
I scrolled up the doc. I did. I scrolled up. That's a fair what?
What?
Trevor Lawrence, James Robinson,
is
Travis Etienne, Christian Kirk. Kirk has been outstanding through 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. 26% of the targets, leading the NFL in slot receiving yards. You are, for where you got him, you're probably still playing him, but this is not a top-tier matchup. The Chargers can shut down slot wide receivers.
Well, and that translates to James Robinson and Travis Etienne. This could be a down week for both of those players.
I agree.
We had Never Not Working yesterday and talked about the impact of being heavy underdogs. If you are not favored and you are 5 or more points, the underdog, it is not necessarily a good outcome for you at the running back position. Game script, James Robinson is not going to have 25 opportunities.
Yeah, and if they're shutting down the slot, I do think that, Mike, your start of the week in Evan Engram is a very good playoff of the waivers.
I thought it was Taysom.
Well, yeah, he had a co-starters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Evan Engram's not – he's not going to tear the roof off, but –
he's the Taysom Hill of the Jaguars.
How dare you? He gets far more opportunities.
Yeah, he led them in targets last week. He is on the field. He is a real part of the offense.
Ninth most routes at the tight end position, man.
Everett or Engram this week, Mike, with your conviction about Engram?
Ooh. That's why if I needed the bigger game, and I somehow had both these options, if I needed the bigger game, I would go with Everett. But Engram's just a safe floor play.
The Los Angeles Rams at 1-1 travel to Arizona to take on the Cardinals, who are also 1-1. The DraftKings Sportsbook line.
Road favorite.
Los Angeles -3.5, over under is 48.5. Sean McVay has a 10-1 record against Cliff Kingsbury. So that's where we're at. Last year, Cardinals won the first matchup in Los Angeles. Otherwise, McVay has dominated, including the playoffs. Right now you can't have any hesitation about key Ram offensive players because the Cardinals they're in the bottom three against quarterbacks, running backs, and tight ends in terms of fantasy points given up. It's been, other than the second half of last week, which they did, they only gave up 3 points to the Raiders. It's been really, really bad on defense. And so right now you can't have any confidence that they can slow down Matthew Stafford with Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson. I think both of those guys are in play. Tyler Higbee is Jason's start of
yes.
the week.
Oh, I'm. I
Jason
love that
went
one.
Double up on the Rams with Stafford yep. and Higbee.
Yeah, I think that they're going to be able to throw on the Cardinals no problemo. The question for the Rams, I think, is the Daryl Henderson, Cam Akers split. If you've got to start one of them, it would be Daryl Henderson. But are you excited to start Daryl Henderson? Yeah, I don't feel like
not after they. They recommitted to Cam Akers being like the guy on the ground, incredibly inefficient yet again. So, I mean, how many games in a row can Cam Akers be running like sub-3 a carry?
All of them.
And the coaching staff still continue to give him the ball. I mean, maybe it's the whole season. I don't know, but it was real. If you got Henderson on your team, it's frustrating to see Akers get so many opportunities and be so bad.
Well, on the other side of the ball, there is some opportunity here for Arizona. The Rams are allowing the second most points per drive in the league right now. The highest early down success rate. This was a defense that gave up 100 total rushing yards to Kyler Murray last year. And, you know, the wide receivers, they're scoring a lot of points against the Rams. The question is, do the Cardinals have the kind of wide receivers that can take advantage of that?
Is the Dortch.
I mean, Hollywood Brown?
Nah,
he's a fine wide receiver to play. He has really disappointed for the opportunity of becoming the target hog alpha wide receiver one. That is not what this system from Cliff Kingsbury has produced with Marquise Brown. So now it shifts from the hope of him being the one without Hopkins to the hope of him opening up things when Hopkins returns.
He did hit that 11, the 10 plus target mark that Kyler said he was.
He was
going
also
to.
A centimeter from that yep. being a touchdown on sure. the play down the field. So would have scored in back to back weeks. But yeah, he has not. He's definitely not come out and done what like Rashad Bateman has done in Baltimore. James Conner back on the practice field Friday. So right now, I don't think Darrell Williams, Eno are pivot options for your roster. If for some reason Conner was a surprise inactive, you could probably move to Darrell Williams and bet on goal line opportunities.
But if Conner plays, you're playing him.
It's just not a great matchup. The right. Rams giving up 9.3 points to running back so far. Zach Ertz, though, I am making him my start of the week this week. So necessary to this Cardinal offense. The pass rush is going to head Kyler's way. Ertz is arguably the most, you know, he could easily be the number one target in the game.
Easily.
Sure. Any other thoughts on this matchup?
No.
Do you have confidence to flex Allen Robinson, wide receiver two Allen Robinson?
Yeah, against the Cardinals, yes.
The Falcons at 0-2 take on the 1-1 Seattle Seahawks. Kyle, are you thrilled to be tuning into this barn burner?
Not at all.
Okay. Mariota, Geno Smith. You know, first round pick matchup.
I'm just nervous for Pitts. That's all.
I am too, brother. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Seattle minus one at home, over under is 42. And so, Battle of the Bridge quarterbacks, here we go. Is anybody in this game a must-start option for your fantasy team?
Oh, man.
What a good question.
So, DK Metcalf, I don't know if you guys covered that, but he's my start of the week for this particular matchup because the Falcons have been so bad against fantasy wide receivers, 30th. Combine that with being at home and Pete Carroll at least saying they need to open it up a little bit more, which Geno Smith, very efficient game manager right now, number one in the NFL in completion rate, and yet dead last in average depth of target. So if we get to open that up just a little bit in this game, I think that DK Metcalf finally has the big game that we've been waiting for.
They do need to open it up. This is a matchup that they should be able to open it up a little bit more on. That being said, the Seahawks offense has not scored an offensive point in 90 minutes straight of gameplay. It has been since the first half of the first
six
week.
Six
quarters of not having an offensive point scored.
I think the Atlanta Falcons are a good good medicine for that.
Yeah, this is going to be tough. You know, the Steelers wanted to open it up, but then you realize you have Mitch Trubisky. So the risk of opening it up, you know, people want to know, do the Geno Smith turnovers start to flow if they try to do that? So in terms of must start, Mike, you have confidence in Metcalf his big game.
I mean, you know, just, yeah.
I think Drake London is in the category.
He's a must play to me.
Of flex worthy. 51% of the team's air yards. I do expect the Kyle Pitts involvement to go way up in this game.
It is ironic that when I look at this game, there's only one must start, and it is Kyle Pitts. I would like to start Drake London in certain situations, but plenty of rosters have wide receivers above him. There aren't rosters out there that drafted Kyle Pitts who have a better option. A lot of the waiver wire guys we're talking about, you know, I like Evan Ingram. I do. I think there's an opportunity for him this week. There is no way I would start Evan Ingram over Kyle Pitts. That's what I'm saying. So he is an absolute must start.
The Cordarrelle Patterson situation, at least on paper, Javonte 108 total yards against Seattle. My name is Jeff Wilson, 103 total yards against Seattle. So if there was going to be a week to try to predict Patterson being okay,
man,
you could try it.
Yeah, I don't mind putting Patterson in there. He wasn't that great last week. You could tell in week one that the game plan was to have Cordarrelle Patterson split the reps with running backs, but then the starting running back got injured and he took over. Come into week two, Tyler Algier was there and they split those. So unless the running back gets injured from the get-go, he's not going to be you know, he had 22 carries week one. That's not happening again without an injury. But I do think the combination of him, his utilization of the passing game, the matchup against Seattle, he's a fine flex play.
Rashad Penny managers are reeling.
Oh, man.
Don't start Penny. Don't start Walker.
You can't start either one for a while.
Okay. The Green Bay Packers at 1-1 take on the 2-0 Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa. And the DraftKings Sportsbook line here is Tampa minus one. The injury situation in Tampa Bay is it's troublesome, to say the least. You have a suspended Mike Evans that will not play in this matchup. Julio, Godwin, Gage, and Perryman are all questionable. It's, you know, they had to sign Cole Beasley. This is why I love Leonard Fournette in this game. I think he's going to be necessary to both focal points of the offense. The running game, which is the one area the Packers have given up a decent amount of points, and then the passing game, just being a target for Tom Brady, running a ton of routes. You know, I said it on yesterday's show.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, the thighs like what? The dumps, they're coming. Brady is 2-0 against Green Bay as the Buccaneer, but we are pretty, pretty down on Brady this week.
Yeah, I think we're down on both offenses for what they usually are. Usually you love the Packers, you love the Buccaneers. Both teams are dealing with wide receiver injuries. I think a lot of the Packers side was, you know, rest. Randall Cobb had an illness, and Alan Lazard's still working his way back from the ankle issue. But Lazard, Watkins, Christian Watson, and Randall Cobb all did not participate at all in practice on Thursday. That makes Romeo Dubs maybe more involved. He's been kind of splitting with Christian Watson, and he could have full-time use. But again, the Buccaneers defense has been outrageously good to start the season. If the Packers offense doesn't get clicking and they haven't looked great so far this season, I think you could end up with two poor offensive outings.
Slight update from Tampa Bay. No Chris Godwin at practice, so he's going to miss, which was expected. Julio Jones is working on the side with the trainers. With that happening on a Friday, that's not necessarily great news to start, but he'll be back soon, just probably not this week.
Aaron Jones, monster week last week. A.J. Dillon, 37 opportunities in 2 weeks. Both of those players, it's not a good matchup. The Buccaneers defense is very, very good, so I'd be more concerned about A.J. Dillon just because of explosive plays, right? Aaron Jones last week, fewer opportunities, much better fantasy week. You have to hope for a big play.
Kyle and I made the tough decision yesterday to go with...
You benching A.J.?
We did. We went Kareem Hunt over A.J. Dillon.
Okay. Bet you wish you got in the end zone on that goal
line. Oh, man. I was dying. Three freaking carries. Kareem, you're Kareem Hunt, dude.
Get in.
That's your... That is where you dominate, is inside the five.
He should have gone over the top the way that Chubb did.
It was very frustrating that he did not score.
Alan Lazard. Where are we with the Lazard King?
I mean, he ran the most routes. Like, he was in peripherals. He was their number one wide receiver. Didn't turn into a whole bunch. I know he had the touchdown. I think we're still in a you're circling the tarmac because you got to wait for him to truly be healthy.
And then Aaron Rodgers, put him on your bench.
If I could. Like, I would do the disgusting...
Goff?
Oh, Goff for sure. Goff is not... Doesn't make me feel bad about myself as a human. Starting Carson Wentz...
That would make
me
feel...
Makes me feel bad, but I think that's the right thing to do.
The 49ers, 1-1, taking on the Denver Broncos in Sunday Night Football. I'll be excited to see this game live. Jimmy G, back at it. Russell Wilson... Can they get the offense going? The DraftKings Sportsbook line, San Francisco minus 1.5, another road favorite. Over-under is 44.5. That's not a lot of points. But, you know, there's hope and dreams right now as the kind of currency in which we're living in here with Denver.
Yeah.
You know, Russ, discussed him in Unsolved Mysteries. Javonte, you know, you love seeing how often he's on the field. 65% of snaps. Seems to be the pass catching back, 19 opportunities, hasn't been able to get into the end zone because this team hasn't been able to put up any points.
Yeah, the biggest concern for them to me is the coaching. I don't know if we get it figured out here. Say the San Francisco 49ers are a spectacular defense. That's not going to stop me. Like, Javonte's in, Cortland Sutton is in. Do we have it? Jerry Jeudy is going to play.
I don't think so.
Okay,
I don't think Jerry Jeudy is going to play.
So questionable.
It's possible, but Hamler was back at practice. Sutton's the only option that you can really take, yeah. Right? In the wide receiver room, Jason.
Yeah, that's it. It's pretty easy on that side of the ball.
By the way, the 49ers have not allowed a team to rush for 100 yards in 7 straight games.
Well, my question was going to be, Russ, if you have no Jeudy or you have a limited Jeudy, are you going to Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, those types?
I am, yeah. Until I see it from Russ, if Jerry Judy's not out there and his weapons are a little bit limited, the San Francisco 49ers, they're a good defense.
Yes, right now,
they're a little inflated because of their first 2 weeks matchups. You know, they're basically like top 10, top 5 across the board. I don't think they're that good, but they are a solid defense. And we haven't seen the Broncos offense do much. So I am putting Russ on the bench, certainly not cutting him because he's Russell Wilson, but I would, there's plenty of other options that I think you could start over him.
This could be good theater this week because they're at home in Denver, that crowd, if their offense stagnates in the first half, I mean, the frustration that we've seen already with the coaching staff and their ability to kind of get things together, it'll be three struggling weeks if they can't do it. Jeff Wilson's going to start at running back for the 49ers.
He's a must play.
Yep, Broncos defense has been very good against running backs, but Wilson is the guy. Debo, of course you play him, but through 2 weeks, wide receiver 29, wide receiver 25, I do think things will be better for him with Jimmy G.
Agreed. And Brandon Ayuk is interesting.
Welcome back, Brandon.
Yeah, I mean, based off of everything we heard over the offseason of not just from the beat reporters, but from the players themselves saying Brandon Ayuk has been tearing up training camp. He looks fantastic. And now you have the pocket passer back. Brandon Ayuk is, would you go try to trade low for him right now, or would you let this weekend ride out against the Denver Broncos it's 2 weeks, but they're currently number one against fantasy wide receivers. Would you predict a bad game and then go get Ayuk?
I think he's going to end up on some waiver wires.
He might.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Brandon Ayuk is projected to be good, he should be fine in this game. Obviously the Broncos have been great so far, but somewhat similar to the 49ers, the first 2 weeks matchups, you know, when you're playing against Geno Smith and change, it inflates your numbers. I think Brandon Ayuk, if you want him, you go get him now, because it's not like he's going to cost you a lot to get Brandon Ayuk.
He's not rostered in 20% of leagues.
Exactly.
So like you can actually go sign him and just hold on to him as a flyer.
Yeah, he's a throw-in on a trade. You're not trying to, you know, acquire him at any cost.
Kittle should play in this game. That's the good news for the 49ers.
And you played George Kittle.
Oh, really?
Kittle.
I had not seen
Kittle,
that.
Yeah, Kittle should be back out there. Ayuk or Renfro rest of the season, just out of curiosity.
Ooh. I'm going to go Ayuk. Ayuk.
All right. The Cowboys at 1-1 take on the 2-0 New York Giants. I'm sorry, Giants fans, but you're laughing with me. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Giants -1 at home, over-under 39 points. Our bookends on this week three.
Yeah.
You get the Browns and you get the Steelers and that situation, and then you go to Monday night and you get Daniel Jones versus Cooper Rush. I mean, you never play those guys in fantasy. So then you have to say, well, what are we going to get with their teammates? Saquon led. Let me ask you this about Saquon. He has 25 opportunities in both of the weeks. Week one, outstanding. Jason, you were ready to ship Austin Ekeler off to get Saquon. Week two, same opportunities, not the production, not the fantasy value. Where are you with Saquon? Are you buying low right now based on opportunities? Because we don't know what this offense, we don't even know what wide receivers are going to run out there each and every week. And you just talked multiple times about situations where the offenses couldn't get down the field, costing running backs fantasy points. Tell me where you're at. Would you still do that Ekeler trade? And where are you with Saquon?
The Ekeler trade, maybe not, but I did try to trade for Barkley with other assets. The utilization is fantastic. I still think he, you know, you don't look as good as you look in week one, and then you just lost it. I am all in on Saquon being great rest of season, so he is a clear target after a down game against Carolina.
Dalton Schultz on the other side. Well, let's stay with the wide receivers, I guess, for a brief second, because we're supposed to do that. But Kadarius Toney, Sterling Shepard, Wandale Robinson. Wandale probably won't be back out there. Kenny G, upset, angry, didn't get any snaps. Shepard is your Jacoby Myers of the offense that you can take your shot at. But, you know, Shepard has always been, even when before the injury, Shepard's always been in this world where you get some good games, you don't get some good games. Yeah. And this is season after season. So, what are you just doing nothing with these guys?
Yeah, I mean, Shepard is a flex play if you're dealing with injuries or problems. I think he'll lead the team in targets, lead the team in snaps, lead the team in routes. He's the wide receiver one, and it could be okay. Dallas, the strength of this team right now is obviously on defense. This should be a low-scoring game. I don't think that Sterling Shepard's a smash play. He's just someone that you can play.
On the other side, I was going to say Dalton Schultz. It doesn't look optimistic. You need another plan. You can't wait on Dalton Schultz. You don't know how we talked about it in the beginning of the week. The injury could cause him to be limited. Production could be limited. I think you got to go someplace else with Dalton Schultz.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Go get Evan Ingram.
If Zeke doesn't score a touchdown in this game.
Oh, gosh.
Are we just... Mike, what are you doing? You're a Zeke manager.
He's on my bench currently. He has scored four straight games against the New York Giants. So that's, you know, that's a positive. but like the utilization is very confusing Pollard's a good player, but Zeke has looked good, and like he's not Zeke of 4 years ago. We all know that, but he's moving the pile. He's getting you 4 to 5 yards a carry. It's most of the time. So I don't know why they have abandoned him and gone with this other offense.
Zeke or Daryl Henderson?
Zeke.
Yeah, I would go Zeke over Daryl Henderson
just based on the matchup.
But I also think Tony Pollard is a decent play with Dalton Schultz either being missing or hobbled, not being at 100%. He had 7 targets last week with the first time we got to see him with Cooper Rush. If Pollard is involved to that degree in the passing game, I think in PPR leagues, Pollard is a pretty strong flex play.
CeeDee Lamb is a wide receiver what this week?
2. And I think he's a 2 two-ish. Going forward
with no Dak,
yeah.
7 for 75. That has to be encouraging on 11 targets.
That's great.
The rankings, the start sit tool, all on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. Couple injury updates. James Conner will be a game time decision. Julio Jones, a game time decision.
I have moved from, I previously thought if Julio plays, I'm going to play him because of the, you know, the graveyard of other options there. But I think with his injury, I would be too scared of him running a route and getting injured. So if he's playing, I'm not playing him.
Conner is a game time decision. That sucks.
I think he'll play, but yeah, it puts you in a tough position.
I mean, they're
is that the afternoon?
They're
game?
At home in Arizona, which is the tech or usually an afternoon game. So that will be you're shaking your head.
That
Kyle?
Is a later game.
Wow.
So
I mean, you have to have one of the backups.
Do like we have Darryl injury Williams. Blitz? The injury blitz podcast this afternoon.
After the Friday practice reports. Yep.
Okay. So for those of you that would like, you know, Matthew Betts' thoughts after all the practice reports. JoinTheFoot.com. The Injury Blitz podcast is available every Friday because these are tough situations to work through.
Yeah.
Fantasy Face-Off, presented by DraftKings.
Well, 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 here we are. Mike and I, very close last week.
Yes.
157 to 154. Jason ended up in third, which means he gets to spin the wheel of shame.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah.
Wheel of shame.
You can't fake it through this
one. So exciting. Oh, yeah, this is a bad one. Let's go.
Spinning the wheel. We got a
lot of options.
Spartan, Cartoon Man. Banana Face.
Oh, no.
Or the 12th Man.
The 12th man. That's not good. I'm a Seahawks fan? This is
being recorded, Jason.
Oh, man.
For your friends,
Andy,
your family.
There's still more.
Oh, there's more.
Oh, is this...
So you might need to take the glasses off.
Is this some eye black?
Or? Yeah, yeah. You got some eye black.
So he's got a... For
I don't know if you need me, but...
YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballers. So as of right now...
There you go.
Jason Moore has a sensational Seattle Seahawks bucket hat on and an oven mitt that's taking the place of the number one hand.
So go Hawks!
Make sure you keep that up there.
Wow.
You can put your glasses back on if you need them, but wow, that is...
Let's see here.
That is truly shameful.
I just yeah, for us love Arizona. The Seahawks so much. Go Seahawks. Geno's number one. Geno's number one.
This is good. At least you don't have a horse face on.
I can see, and that is amazing.
Can you see yourself?
Well, let's let the Seahawks fan begin our lineups for week three. Who do you got at quarterback, Mr. Moore?
Well, we're going to begin at the top. He's been putting up 40 every week. I'm going with Josh Allen in the cash lineup.
What's the cost there?
He is $8,200. A lot of the prices of the Buffalo Bills from the previous week were locked in early, so I think he should be far more than this.
All right, I'm going to go.
Oh, also, as an example, the just my confidence in Josh Allen, mm-hmm. the DK Sportsbook right now has him at a 1.5 passing touchdowns, which is like, oh, okay, that, you know.
Right.
The over is at -220.
Okay.
So, I mean, so it's juiced.
Minimum two passing touchdowns exactly. is what they're calling for. Hey, make sure you get that number one Seahawks fan in there. he's trying to pick his nose.
I'm going with Kirk Cousins. Okay. I'm taking Kirk Cousins right. at home. He's actually my number two quarterback on the week.
Wow.
That's a spicy meatball.
$6,700 at home against Detroit. He's going to dominate.
Number two on the week.
Yeah.
Did you forget about Jalen Hurts?
No, I didn't. Wow. In my almost upset of the week? No. Mike, who's your quarterback?
Josh Allen.
Nice.
Okay. All right. I'm live there. I saved some money. Kirk is only $6,700. Moving to running back, who do you got, Jason?
At running back,
I mean, Rashad Penny, right?
Oh, yeah, my number man. One, my man.
Oh, he's going Penny and Walker.
At running yeah. back, I have Penny and Walker. I want all of the wonderful
You are
points.
The 12th man.
I am the 12th man. No, at running back, I have DeAndre Swift, pass-catching running back that I think in sure. a full-point PPR, he's only $7,200. And David Montgomery, who looked good. He is at home in a favored matchup against the Texans, and he was only $5,900.
Well, I have David Montgomery as well, Jason, at $5,900. My running back, though, with a DK Sportsbook line of 98.5 rushing and receiving yards is Joe Mixon
yep.
against the Jets. I like it.
Yeah, he should be in a good spot. I have Miles Sanders costing $5,500 over,
very nice.
Over on DK Sportsbook. His line is at 63.5 rushing yards. I think he is going to absolutely dismantle that number. And I also saved a little bit of money here, too, with my other running back. I'm going Damian Pierce, who saw a big uptick in work.
That's against Chicago.
And they are playing the Chicago Bears. So game script-wise, I think we have a pretty even matchup, which the Houston Texans can win this game, which
that'll be
let's get Pierce in the end zone.
Interesting to watch running back versus running back in that matchup.
I mean, I'd rather have Montgomery, but for $5,000, I had to pay down for Pierce.
That is
all right.
Fair.
Three wide receivers, Jason.
Three wide receivers at my first wide receiver, Stephon Diggs. You got to match him up with Josh Allen. I'm going to Curtis Samuel at $5,100. And my
he's still what?
Yeah, $5,100 for Curtis Samuel,
wow.
despite two back-to-back good weeks in Andy's almost upset, and
that's madness.
Yeah. So my third wide receiver, I went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth between three guys, but I am going with Mac Hollins, $3,800. He is a freebie if Hunter Renfrow is gone through the concussion protocol.
$3,300.
Even cheaper.
Yes, I was. He was in my lineup. He is not anymore. So it was very close because my three wide receivers, Justin Jefferson.
Nice.
At $9,300 to match the Kirk Cousins. And then I went with Amon-Ra St. Brown in that same matchup. I have a lot riding on Detroit, Minnesota. Amon-Ra is $7,200. And my third shot here for New Orleans is Chris Olave at $4,500.
So I also have Mac Hollins. If you got Josh Allen in, which that means I also have Stephon Diggs in. You have to save money somewhere, and if Renfrow does not play, Matt Collins will see an uptick at work, and he's already seeing a whole bunch of targets. Like, it's outrageous how much he is involved. I got Diggs, Matt Collins, and the sun god Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Oh, you got him as well.
I mean, 7,200 for what that guy is producing is.
I'm going to tell you, as a Seahawks cheap. As a Seahawks fan,
yes,
I'm very scared of you guys both having Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yes, you should be.
All right, final three, Jason, your tight end, your flex, and your defense.
My tight end, my flex, and my defense. I'll start at the bottom. I have the Jets at only 2,400. They are home against the turnover machine Joe Burrow right now. I'm hoping they can keep the bad vibes going for the Bengals. At tight end, Irv Smith, only 3,100.
Okay.
He was priced down in the breakout last week, did not get priced in. And at flex, Leonard Fournette.
Oh, the dump truck.
The dump truck dumps like a truck. PPR machine at 6,500.
All right, here's where all my savings was because I have some pretty high-end running backs. I had the Jets in. I pivoted. I went to the Raiders for just a little bit more, taking on Tennessee. That offense, the Vermont, I know the Vermont narrative is there for you, Jason, but the Raiders defense, Tennessee has not been able to do a lot. I had Mac Hollins in. I pivoted. I ended up spending 100 more buckaroos for Sky Moore, who I think will be on the field and have an opportunity to do some more explosive things than Mac Hollins. And then my bargain basement, bottom of the barrel, tight end is Isaiah Likely, who had five targets last week. He's 2,800. If he doesn't play, because he is questionable, but has been practicing, I will pivot to Kylan Granson for 100 fewer dollars.
Sure. So I have the Hig Beast as my tight end. I think he will be a PPR machine. That those targets will continue to flow. My flex is actually Mac Hollins. So that means, but you had already said it, so I just wanted to let you know I had it. So that means my other wide receiver is T. Higgins.
Ooh, nice.
At just 6,100. Continues to go target for target with Ja'Marr Chase, and the price is nowhere near that of Ja'Marr Chase. And I completely punted my defense off a bridge. For the good of the fantasy footballers, I am playing the Arizona Cardinals at home against the Rams. Let's see if
well, how much is rocks, that? 2,000?
Yeah, 2,400.
Okay.
So we'll see if rocks in the elbow, Matty Stafford can throw.
You guys have any budget left? I have 100 left.
I got $100 left.
I should have 100 plus 500. I have 600 left. I pivoted on show from Romeo Doubs to Mac Hollins.
I see.
All right, that was Fantasy Faceoff presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code BALLERS to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's the code BALLERS, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
You know this footage is forever.
Yeah. Go Hawks!
Yeah, Josh, Papa Josh, cut this up. Make sure his family, friends see this. 12th man over here.
Love the Seahawks.
That'll do it for today's show. Like I said, Injury Blitz podcast this afternoon at jointhefoot.com. Thank you for joining us, following the show. Enjoy the weekend.
See you on Sunday, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.